cold because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, hello. Hello. There we are. Good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope everybody got a good shower last night. Some people didn't know. I know southwestern Oklahoma was left out of that rainfall. Let's talk a little bit about that here in just a second. First, let's check out some temperatures in western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle. Right now, 67 at Altus. Looks like about the warm spot in western Oklahoma. 58 at Arnett. 58 at the May Ranch. 62 at Lahoma. 56 at Slapout. Slapout, you got the highest recorded wind. Highest wind yesterday. 80, was that right? Let me see here. I had it. 87 miles an hour at the Mezzanette at Slap Out, and 60 at Beaver. Other than that, everybody else was not too bad. Them was pretty high, 50 at Woodward, but 87 miles an hour at Slap Out. That's crazy. Check out the temperatures out here in the panhandle of Texas. 66 at Wellington, 68 at Odell, 57 at Mime, 59 at Canadian, and 57 at Lipscomb. Let's see here. What do we got going on here? Let's see. All right, let's check out some rain totals, amounts. 580-225-9697. If you have, want to send a message in to the Today in Ag hotline, how much rain you got? 1.40 inches here at the Mezzanette in Elk City. I got 0.4 at my house at Carter, and 2 or 3 miles south of me, they didn't get a drop. 0.6 at Mangum, 1,300s at Altus, 0.35 at Cheyenne, but over there towards Rowe, looks like they were in the 1-inch mark. 0.4 at Arnett, and along with that wind at Slapout yesterday, they got 0.03 of an inch of rain, so that wasn't much. Let's see here. Hinton, almost 1 inch. Up around Medford and Lahoma, they looks like they got anywhere from 0.5 inch to 1 inch. And that's at the Mezzanette centers. I'm sure other places got more. But that was a true story yesterday. The person that sent me a text in during the show yesterday, 5 inches at Sweetwater. And I can verify that by looking at the river behind my house yesterday afternoon. It was rolling, man. It was getting with it. So rain and more rain on the way, I guess, towards middle of next week. It's all a prediction, but they're talking supercells in western Oklahoma next Wednesday and Thursday. That means anything to anybody, but when they start predicting it that far out, it means it must gonna be pretty rough weather in the Texas Panhandle and western Oklahoma towards the middle of next week. And oh, yeah, Newcomb's Lake. I texted him this morning because I was looking at my radar scope, and it looked like he got 2 or 3 inches of rain there at his house. Sure enough, 2.2 inches of rain there. And where my cows, my landlord's cows are there on Merritt Road, south of 152. I checked the rain gauge there before I come to the show. 1 inch even. So we got lots to talk about today. First of all, I wanted to do a reminder email for you guys. I thought I had it up. Where did it go? There we go. I knew I had it up. Important dates to remember through your NRCS and FSA offices for the next month or two. See here. June 6th, deadline to accept offers for both general and continuous CRP. And then July 15th is the deadline to certify all spring or summer crops and warm season grasses. And then August 15th is a deadline to apply for ECAP. There you have it. And I don't see anything else on this email that I think that's about it. or we haven't. I seen our man, Jimmy Emmons, assistant chief at the NRCS. He's made the news again on our Oklahoma Conservation Commission Facebook page. Got a good story in there about Jimmy and how he's helped things along. And again, congratulations. I don't know. It kind of gives you a little sense of comfort knowing that somebody from Western Oklahoma, especially Dewey County, is representing us, you know, well in Washington with the Department of Agriculture, especially on the NRCS side. So again, congratulations. All right, let's see what happened. Oh, we got 8/10 at Cordell, according to the Cotton Killer. So there we go. I had the privilege of seeing him yesterday. And I think the Cotton King was a little jealous I was with him. I'm not sure. Well, he's never ate lunch with me, big old baby. And if anybody, I know he's not going to admit it, if anybody in Washtenaw County is around somewhere, he's planting cotton. If he's planted cotton yesterday or he's planting cotton today, I need to know about it. Because he said he was going to wait till June 1st. And I hate a person that goes back on their word. And but I, looking at the mezzanine, he's got plenty of moisture now in down there in Washtenaw County to plant cotton. Yeah, and I got some cotton news for you guys later on in the show. First of all, let's see what happened overnight in our big old, he was planting cotton. you backstabber, you lowlife. All right, let's check it out. Corn futures were lower in overnight trading and amid increasing estimates from Brazil's crop and as U.S. planting nears completion. Brazilian, I don't know how to say that, Datagrow, because I know it's kind of some Spanish going on there, raised its forecast for production to 132.7 million tons. That's up 0.7% from the previous estimate. If realized, this would be a 12% increase from the previous year's crop. The USDA earlier this month forecast output in the South American country at 130 million metric tons. About 87% of the U.S. corn was planted at the start of the week, up from 78% 7 days earlier and ahead of the prior five-year average of 85%. The USDA said in its weekly crop report, 67% had emerged as of Sunday versus 50% the week prior and the average of 60% this time last year. Some 68% of the corn crop was rated good or excellent. The agency said the first conditions report from the grain this season, 3/4 of the U.S. corn earned top ratings in the first week of June of last year. Has anybody wondered how they get these ratings? Do they have somebody like the Wildlife Department on opening day of deer season or quail season drive around and just look at the crops and stop and see if it's any good or not? Or is there a reporting line that I don't know nothing about? Has anybody from the USDA ever called you to see how your cotton was doing or your peanuts or your wheat or your Truticale? Anybody ever done that? Has everybody ever got a call? I'd like to know about that. But overnight, corn futures for July delivery fell 4.25 to 4.46¾ cents a bushel. Soybeans came up 2.5 cents to 10.51 a bushel. Soy meal was up 10 cents to 2.94.20 a short ton. And soy oil futures gained 0.09 cents to 49.02 cents a pound. Wheat futures for July delivery lost 2.25 to 5.28 a bushel. And Kansas City futures declined a penny to 5.24¼ a bushel. Let's see here. What else is going on according to Successful Farming? Hundreds of agriculture and related groups signed a letter asking Congress to enact a bill protecting their access to certain pesticides. About 365 groups, including the American Soybean Association, the National Corn Growers Association, and the National Association of Wheat Growers, signed the letter asking Congress to enact the Agriculture Labeling Uniformity Act, needing to ensure access to safe, well-regulated pesticides. States have been prevented since the 1970s from imposing or labeling of pesticides in a manner that differs from federal requirements, the American Soybean Association said in a statement. Recent requirements on labels in certain states, however, are in contradiction of the EPA agency's finding on pesticide safety, the group said. Some states have started regulating pesticides in ways that contradict scientific guidance from the EPA, said the letter to the Speaker of House Mike Johnson. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Senate Majority Leader John Thune, and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. What a great guy. Lack of certainty on EPA-approved science-based nationwide labels will erode access to current and future pesticides, threatening crops and farmers' incomes, conservation practices, public health, and vital infrastructure, and ultimately raise food prices for families amid high inflation, the letter said. Pesticides are an essential tool for many growers and other users with operations rely on them, and for consumers and our environmental, which benefit from their use. Let's see here. What's going on with weather, according to the National Weather Service in our Farm Belt? Not much. Thunderstorms up in Minnesota and parts of Iowa, dense fog through the river valleys through there, and about it. Nothing major going on. Let's see. Let's go ahead and take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. Brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Trade-ins aren't just for cars anymore. Now they're for tools. Bring in your old tools and save up to $250 on brand new Milwaukee tools this month at NAPA. Save $50 on tools like a half-inch drill driver kit. Save $100 on tools like a half-inch extension anvil controlled torque impact wrench with one key kit. And save $250 on the 1-inch D-handle extension anvil high torque impact wrench with one key. Bring in your old tools and pay less for brand new ones during the Milwaukee Trade-In event at NAPA in Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton.
If you've been thinking about buying a new mower, now's the time to save. DJ's Rental and Sales in Elk City is offering $600 off any Hustler Raptor Series mower during the Hustler Spring Sales event going on now through the end of May. Or choose up to $1,000 off select Cub Cadet Ultimate Series mowers during their Ultimate Sales event going on April 3rd through May 15th. Now's the time to save at DJ's Rental and Sales on South Main in Elk City.
The last thing you want after completing a well is to leave money on the table. However, many drilling companies do just that within the first 30 days of production. It's critical to hire well-trained operators with good quality equipment to give you the right kind of data you need to maximize production from day one. Prime Well Solutions specializes in flowback, sand separation, and well testing specific to the unique needs of your well. In Oklahoma, West Texas, and New Mexico, Prime Well Solutions has you covered. Find them online at primewellsolutions.com.
From the classroom to the field, Elk City High School students are igniting sparks of brilliance, fueling the fire of progress in every endeavor they pursue. Whether it's breaking records in the academics or dominating the field, these students are the driving force behind Elk City's dynamic spirit. GAS is fully committed to supporting and fostering the spirit of innovation, because in Elk City, it's not just about moving forward, it's about racing ahead. That's why we're...
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You've seen the yellow tags. You've heard the commercials. You've heard the hustle and bustle. What are you waiting for, guys? Windy Nissan is your dealer. We have all the new Nissans, all the used cars, trucks, and SUVs that you can dream of. With over 150 on the ground, we truly have a little bit of something for everybody. Payments as low as $249 with $0 down. Up to 90 days, no payments. There's never been a better time than now to come see us at Windy Nissan of Elk City, your hometown dealer.
Are you looking for a new metal building that's built to last? Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone brings you top-tier craftsmanship and second-to-none quality with attention to detail. From luxury custom barn dominiums to shops or barns and commercial buildings, our buildings don't just look good, they're built to last with all custom weld-up, I-beam, and C-Perlin construction. From design to completion, we do it right. That's Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I'm having a bad hair day today. Can't get my headphones comfortable. My glasses are slipping. My hat doesn't feel right. Just, I don't know. I'm having a bad hair day. Canadian Texas, here is your ag weather update for out in the Texas Panhandle. 58 degrees, humidity's 86, dew points 54, winds out of the northeast at 15, gust 20, peak wind gust today 38 miles an hour. Check this out, 5.4 inches of rain so far in the month of May for Canadian Texas. I wonder if that's a record. That's a lot of rain for that area. 68 is 8-inch soil temperature air for Canadian. Okay, let's check out the current grain markets. You want to? Oh, I just got a text message from one of my listeners and farming buddies over there around Clinton, and he said that, let's check this out. He said, actually had a USDA lady out checking my wheat last week. She called a few weeks before asking if she could do some yield checks. She was from NASS, the NASS. So I guess it's true. I guess I'm not very, I'm not on their list. They never call me. All they wanted is come out and pick tomatoes. Talking about tomatoes in a high tunnel. Wee doggies. It's looking good. Maybe towards the end of next week, I'll have on the big tomatoes. I've already picked probably a pound of the cherry type tomatoes already, the yellow ones and the red ones. Jalapenos and the bananas are growing, and I figure I got somewhere between 5 and 8 pounds per tomato right now on the big girls already hanging, and just need them to keep growing and start blushing. Looking good. All right, current market, I think. Yes, that was the current market. I just refreshed it for no reason. Come on, there we go. Come on up. There we go. July, corn, 445, down 5 3/4. September, 426, down 3 3/4. Soybeans for July, 1047, down 3/4. August, 1044, down 1. Soybean meal, July, 296.40, up 270. August, 300 even, up $2.40. Soybean oil is down 80 at 48.13 for July. Hard red winter wheat, July 5.30, up 5 1/4. September 5.44, up 5. Cotton, July 64.71, down 62. And oil out of West Texas, July 60.91, down 93 cents. And natural gas is July at 347, down 8. NASDAQ, S&P, and the Dow are all in the green. So is the lives and the feeders. June lives, 215.47, up 155. August, 210.22, up 205. Feeder cattles, August, 315, up 452. September, 299.10, up 462. I'm wondering if that August feeder is a record at 315. That's getting all of them are up there pretty good. Lean hogs for June, 100.07, down 20. And there you have it. Okay, I said I was going to talk a little bit about cotton. Here we go. While most states anticipate a reduction in their total number of cotton acres, some exceptions exist. Farmers in Arizona, Virginia, and Kansas are expected to plant more cotton than their respective three-year averages. That's still amazing about Kansas and their cotton. The total number of cotton acres planted this year is expected to sink to a 10-year low, according to the National Cotton Council and USDA reports. A NCC survey estimates 9.6 million acres will be planted this year, while the most recent USDA plantings report estimates 9.87 million acres. Those numbers indicated planted cotton acreage will be at its lowest level since 2015, according to the USDA's National Agriculture Statistics Service Prospective Plantings Report. Big old titles, released March 31st. In addition, these numbers represent an approximate decline of 14 to 15% from last year. States where cotton acres are in decline, the Southwest, which includes Texas, continues to hold the largest share of total U.S. cotton acreage, but also faces the largest acreage decline compared with its three-year average. The USDA said in its release on Wednesday, and looking at that map, it says Texas, 5.527 million acres of cotton, down 14.7%. Oklahoma is 330,000 acres, down 34.7%. And if you Okie cotton farmers don't watch it, Kansas is going to catch you in the next 5 years. 140,000 acres in Kansas, up 3.7%. Let's see here. In the Southeast, cotton area is also expected to decline in response to weak cotton prices, with acreage shifting to other crops, including corn and peanuts. The release said Georgia, the largest producing state in the Southeast, accounts for 39% of the region's decline, according to the USDA. The Delta region is likewise expected to see cotton acreage fall because of an anticipated increase in corn acreage. The West, which has the least acreage of four main cotton-producing regions, is reporting the smallest year-to-year change, which, with improved water availability and favorable crop rotation opportunities, supporting an increase in plantings in the big state of Arizona. Some exceptions to the overall reductions trend exist, with Arizona, Virginia, and Kansas are all expected to plant more cotton. And the chart below shows all that. And that's about it for cotton. Let's see here. Where'd we go? Bear with me. All right. I got a report on machine repeat once a week at least. According to the Ag Web, Farm Journal Ag Web, Pete highlights recent auctions include a Bobcat skid steer and Kubota wheel loader, along with a handful of used John Deere machines that brought in good returns. He also mentions an upcoming sale that you guys looking for anything need to keep your eye on. This may not dominate farmers' attention quite like tractors and combines do. Yet skid steers and wheel loaders are versatile, practical pieces of equipment for farming and livestock operations. Pete's pick of the week highlighted a pair of recent transitions for both machines on the auction circuit. A 2023 Bobcat T770 skid on tracks with only 32 hours on it sold for $69,750 at an auction in Michigan. That's the ninth highest auction price ever on a used Bobcat T770, according to machinerepeat.com. The record sale price, which is over $98,000, was set in December of 2022. Pete says equipment dealer inventories were at historic lows coming off the COVID-19 slowdown, and that likely influenced the price. 2023 Kubota R640 wheel loader with 209 hours on it, sold for $74,750 at the same auction. Sounds like some boys with some bucks was at that auction. Right now, with the uncertainty in the market, the stock market is dropping and my 401k has lost 800 points. It just gives you a little back off. That's the real harsh reality and brutal honesty of these auction prices. Pete says $98,000 was the market at the end of 2022, and right now it's at $69,750. The good news is I think you might have got a good buy. Woo! Last Wednesday on Big Iron Online Auction, a pre-death, pre-tier, 2010 John Deere, I forgot my Roman numerals, is that a 6? IV, is that a 4? I don't remember. 2010 John Deere 8320R tractor with 3,280 hours on it. And it's got a picture of it. It's a really good-looking tractor. Went for $166,000. Average auction price for that make and model over the last 6 months is just over $138,000. A 1970 John Deere 4020 diesel tractor sold for $22,250, best in the average auction price for this year by $11,000. Who in the heck gives $22,000 for a 4020? And there's not. All it's got is a shade on it. I mean, it looks like it's in good shape, but what was some things? 10,000 new back in then? A pair of John Deere S690 combines that sold in the same Big Iron auction were also worth noting. Pete says a 2017 model with 1,227 hours on it went for $131,250, and a 2014 with 1,395 hours on it went for $125,000. And lastly, Pete noted two sprayer transactions. Are you listening, Sugar Daddy? There's a red one involved in this one. He thought found at a DPA auction sale, a 2022 John Deere 410R sprayer with 347 hours out of Illinois sold for a whopping $362,000. And a 2022 Case IH Patriot 4440 with 1,050 hours from Minnesota sold for $210,500, making it the highest price paid in the United States for a Patriot 4440 this year. And I guess there's an auction coming up. He's saying you might want to keep your eye on, and it is for interested buyers. Let's see here. Here we go. There's a tri-state sale coming up. They pull in equipment from Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. There's another auction company in Nebraska, and they pull in equipment out of Colorado, Nebraska, and Kansas, and they tend to do that about once a month. So I'd say get on petesmachinery.com and check out that one. I guess he's going to be live at one next month, June 21st, at a farm auction for Harry and Lola Blackburn in Lime Springs, Iowa, hosted by Joel's Tractor in Auction. They'll be there with their TV crew, the whole nine yards. Pretty good. All right, let's take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau, and we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Ready, Western Oklahoma, the Wild Plum Jam is back and louder than ever. Coming to Sarah on Saturday, July 19th, it's a Red Dirt Revival you won't want to miss. Live on stage, Cody Canada and the Departed. You ain't the only one. Stoney LaRue. It's Oklahoma Breakdown. You sure do got you crying. And Western Oklahoma's own Tyler Wilhelm. Yes, I'm proud of who I am. All jamming on Route 66 in Sayre. One night, one stage, and a whole lot of red dirt music magic under the Oklahoma sky. Hey, hey, you're not a never-tweener. Lock in your spot now. Tickets will go fast. Get yours today at KECOFM.com. That's KECOFM.com. The 2025 Wild Plum Jam in Serre, Oklahoma, powered by KECO 96.5 FM. Be there.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com.
Hey farmers, it's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay, it wraps it up, is better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
We have accountants that work there, so if you have accounting questions, we can always ask that. We have people that have been there for 35 years, and so they've been in banking a long time, so they can always answer questions. There's a lot of information that's available at First National that is not available at other banks. It's very convenient. We can do a lot of things same day. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Serre.
Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, let's check out some weather in northwestern Oklahoma and the Oklahoma Panhandle. I'm going with Hooker. 57 degrees, dew point is 52, humidity is 83, the winds are out of the northeast at 11 miles an hour, 2.28 inches of rain in the last 10 days, 3-day average bare soil temperature, 65 degrees, sunset at 8:56, 66 and mostly cloudy today, 48 for a low tonight. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 80 degrees. That is your forecast, ag weather forecast for Hooker, Oklahoma. Okay, I haven't checked the text line. Two tents at Cooperton so far. That's the only one that texted in their amount going on. And then also, so one of my listeners from Roger Mills County come up with a contest, and it'll be official starting Monday. Monday's when we're going to do the contest, so you got between now and Monday to come up with your best guess. And I also would like for you to notify the elevator that you're going to choose to ask them to record their first truckload of wheat that comes in, what the weight was on the wheat and the moisture contest, because that is the contest. So I'm trying to come up with some really good prizes, and there's going to be only one winner. And the way I'm going to evaluate the winner is who is closest, because I'm going to record all your guests, your guesstimates next Monday. Here it is. So first thing you got to do is pick an elevator, probably the one closest to you. And then you need to guess what will the wheat and the first load weigh and the moisture be. And I'm going to come up with some really good prizes. So be thinking about that between now And next Monday, and I'll kick off the contest. Well, it's only a one-day contest. I'm only going to take it during the show on Monday, and maybe Tuesday also. And then I'll record everybody's name and what they estimate and where their elevator is. They want me to call and find out what the weight was. So the person who comes the closest, I mean closest, if there's a tie, we'll have to go to a golf course somewhere and have a chip off. I don't know what to do. Depends on what kind of prizes I get. Hell, we might have two winners. We never know. All right. So that's what's coming. That's what will be going on next Monday. So think about that. All right. I got my email, In the Loop email, the bi-monthly e-newsletter from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association the other day, and I wanted to share some of this stuff with you. Last week, in the legislation here in Oklahoma, it was the last week of regular session this year, anticipating Sandy on Friday of this week. The budget was completed last week and sits on the governor's desk waiting his action. While the budget includes many parts and pieces of specific interest to OCA members, is this the inclusion of $250 million for the OSU veterinarian school to get it, build them a new school, vet school. And I think it's a must. I'm not saying they're behind, but their facilities are really outdated, and veterinarian schools are, what is that here? There's 32 or 40. I don't remember the exact number of vet schools in the United States. So it'd be pretty good. And I heard through the grapevine that, you know, they're going to focus on letting a lot more resident vet students in versus out of state. That way we can keep vets in the state of Oklahoma, which I think that's just a rumor I hear. So don't take me for that. And then there's a 0.25% reduction in the income tax rate and elimination of the bottom three tax brackets. A path to zero plan to eliminate the income tax, 0.25% of a time based upon previous year's revenue targets. So Oklahoma, OCA strongly supports the OSU veterinarian school's funding while opposing the income tax language. An OCA policy mentions eliminating the income tax will directly increase property taxes and unfairly target landowners for state revenue. The governor ignored input and charged forward, insisting on the reduction and plan to eliminate. For reference, a person taking $50,000 annually, or making, not taking, but making $50,000 annually, will save about $137 per year on this tax cut. Once the legislation has wrapped up and all bills have cleared the governor's desk, OCA will provide a legislation summary of the 2025 session, which has been a very busy and active schedule. So we'll go with that coming up. And let's see here. What else we got go here? Oh, I want to give you an update from, I got to play this to you. So, you know, Robert F. Kennedy, Secretary of the Health and Human Services, has been making the news here a lot lately, and I wanted to play this for you guys. I don't know what happened to that recording. We done away with it. But seems like Secretary Kennedy's trying to keep the heat off the farmers on the glyphosate part. So we'll see what happens with that. When I come back after this last break, I got a story to share with you guys about rabbits, bringing them back to the 1800s. It even is the latest in the 1980s on jackrabbits. Pretty interesting story from Farm Journal that I wanted to share with you guys. It's kind of long, but it's really interesting. So we'll come back and hear some of the horror stories of them going out and beating and shooting and whatever they're doing with those jackrabbits back in the day. We'll have that coming up right after this break. Be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
You've seen the yellow tags, you've heard the commercials, you've heard the hustle and bustle. What are you waiting for, guys? Windy Nissan is your dealer. We have all the new Nissans, all the used cars, trucks, and SUVs that you can dream of. With over 150 on the ground, we truly have a little bit of something for everybody. Payments as low as $249 with $0 down, up to 90 days, no payments. There's never been a better time than now to come see us at Windy Nissan of Elk City, your hometown dealer.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires through May 31st. Firestone Ag Tires are 30 to 40% off through May 31. Blair Tire and Feed is helping you get ready for planting season by helping you save money. Here's what you need to know right now. You can save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires at Blair Tire and Feed until the last day of May. Right now, get the tires you need for planting season and save money. For contact information, Google Blair Tire and Feed, or just drive to Blair and get your tires.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 19th. 2,346 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 301 brought 495. 14 at 581 brought 361. 11 at 694 brought 332. 3 at 728 brought 288. 9 at 737 brought 320. 15 at 892 brought 276. 12 at 1036 brought 260. 8 head of heifers at 488 brought 332.50. 734 brought 283. 13 at 780 brought 277. 6 at 851 brought 259.50. 42 at 899 brought 266. Butcher cows were 88 to 170. Butcher bulls brought 155 to 208. Bred cows 1525 to 2675. Pairs brought 2050 to 3750. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Exit 71. Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
Ooh. Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hobart, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update. 64 degrees, dew point 62. The humidity is 93%. Winds are out of the north northeast at 12 miles an hour. 17 one-hundredths of an inch of rain in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 78 degrees, sunset at 8:42, 30% chance of showers, today, 73 for a high. Tonight, 20% chance of showers, 55 for a low. And tomorrow, mostly sunny and 78 degrees. The new Penny News is out at the newsstands. Go get your copy while you can. They usually run out. But notice a couple of things in here on page 6. The Today in Ag pages, SEI Agritech come out with their new deal in here about the kaput. If you guys missed it last week when I was at the Music Farms with the OSU wheat tour stop there, we had a gentleman come on from Colorado talking about the kaput gopher and feral hog bait. So SEI is handling that now. If you got any questions about that gopher bait, which from what he was describing, that gopher bait works a lot better than the gopher bait that we're getting now. What was he talking about? Is down from 1.5% of the strychnine to 0.5% in the gopher bait we have now. And that's maybe why we're not getting such good gopher kills like we used to. So it'd be worth hollering at Kent at SEI Agritech here in Elk City and talking about the kaput feral hog and gopher bait. Pretty interesting stuff. Okay. Rabbits. You guys have heard stories about it, but this is a really, really good story I seen on the net this morning from Farm Journal. Bats and sticks once were weapons in grizzly drives, resulting in the clubbing deaths of millions of critters. And raising a Louisville slugger, a 16-year-old David Rogers, alongside 20 farmers and ranchers, walked into a packed pen and began swinging with full force into a sea of jackrabbits. Blood spatter and fur filled the air, chased by squealing and skull-shattering thugs. It's a really cool story, isn't it? As women and children watched from a fence perimeter, 40 minutes later, as Rogers neared physical, being exhausted, the carnage ebbed to unsettling silence and 1,500 dead rabbits. Welcome to an agriculture necessity of yesteryear, an experience by producers who annually lost millions of dollars to the hares because of overpopulation. It was gruesome at all levels, Roger said, and it was never something I got used to. But when your livelihood, your crops, or hay are at stake, your view changes. Today, when people hear what we had to do then, they're in shock or even disbelief. Sticks, bats, and golf clubs were weapons of choice in the massive critter drives performed by farm communities, resulting in the culling of millions of jackrabbits. It was so loud in those pens, Rogers recalls, a ghastly sound. Even now, it still haunts me. In a multitude of states across the Southwest and the West, jackrabbit population explosions once exploded in steady cycles. Peak numbers meant devastated crop rows. The jacks ate everything. Depending on whether they're the white or the black-tailed species, jackrabbits can produce 2 to 4 litters per year. 1 to 8 litter per litter. Females can produce roughly 7 months after being born, 7 months old. Their growth is astonishingly, particularly considering a 5 to 10 pound jack can consume roughly 1 pound of food per day. Bounties were offered for rabbits as early as the 1870s, as described on Idaho farmland in Arid Acres, A History of the Kamana Minnetoka Homesteaders, hope I said that right, 1912 through 1932. The jackrabbits come in hordes so thick that it looked like the ground was moving. Guns were useless against them, for although you could drop what you hit, the rest kept right on coming. Similar descriptions in Nebraska are recorded in Kimball County, 100 years 1888 to 1988. In the early 30s, the rabbits were so plentiful in Kimball County that on looking out over the prairie, it looked like the ground was moving. They were becoming very destructive to crops. It was figured that 2,000 jackrabbits would eat as much as 175 sheep or 35 head of cattle. In December 1934, Kimball County paid bounties on 100,000 pairs of ears. That's a lot of jackrabbits. After a large hunt consisting of 800 men in a drive over nine sections. That's just 9 square miles, and they killed that many jackrabbits. That's crazy. Rabbit drives for mass killing were common as back as far as the 1800s. With bounties roundups recorded in the 1880s and 1890s, the drives, whether utilizing clubs or firearms, took various forms according to the county and state. On November the 14th, 1920, in Arizona, the Herald Democrat recorded 1,200 jacks killed at Avondale. There we go. Sorry. I ain't been there. Couldn't pronounce it. South of Phoenix, the government rodent pest department of that county supplied the ammunition for 160 hunters who took part in the drive. In 1934, 1935, as stunningly detailed by the Emergency Relief Committee, over 2 million jackrabbits were culled in 13 counties of the Great Depression era western Kansas. The long-eared pest, they're calling it, in the absence of other food, went so far to dig alfalfa roots out of the ground and eat the bark from young trees. More than 1,974 sections of land were combed during the rabbit drives of more than 98,000 men and women and children took part in a staging 269 drives. That average kill was 923 rabbits per drive. And doing the math on that, but that's a lot of rabbits. Some of the rabbits killed in drives early in 1935 were used as food for human consumption. And many locals then skinned and they were skinned and ground for tankage. Farmers reported they made excellent feed for chickens and hogs. Rabbit drives were a standard of the age, an agriculture norm, as described in January 1939 in the Tucumcari American, referencing a cull in Coy County, New Mexico. 2,000 jackrabbits were killed on Dick Mabin's ranch near Hudson with 75 hunters from the area gathered for the first hunt of the season sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. Carl Darnell furnished beans, bread, and coffee for the hunters. Drive organizers commonly took out newspaper advertisements to attract participants, as recorded in Spokane, Washington, in 1941. The practice is to invite citizens who desire to participate. A fee of $2 is charged, which is for the bus transportation. Coffee is furnished by the police, but each individual had to bring his own lunch. 1952, Hammer, Idaho. The Rigby Star noted 5,000 rabbits were killed on January 3rd. With hot chocolate and donuts served to participants. In the 1970s, the drive has continued there in Idaho. Weapon of choice. Surrounded by the valley of beauty of the Big Lost River, New Mackey, Idaho, Rogers cut his teeth as a seventh-generation farm boy in a family that raised livestock and grew barley and wheat and oats for feed. He was telling about the story here that they ate our hay like nothing you ever seen. The population explosion seemed to come and go because because of a lack of coyote pressure. But in heavy winters, the rabbits would disseminate our bales. Their urine and feces would ruin the hay and make it unfit for livestock. Under cover of darkness, hordes of jackrabbits ate the bottom layers of Rogers' 2-string and 3-string I forgot to put my phone on silent. Hang on. There we go. 3-string bale stacks, essentially tunneling inward in rapid consumption. Once enough structure was removed, the stacks would topple. Wash, rinse, and repeat, he said. Rogers, now 56 years old, was a teenage bale man. My job was to restack the hay. I can't calculate our losses, but other people had it far, far worse with their row crops or premium hay bounds for dairies. It's tough to convey how many rabbits were out there. There was a time where local farmers supplied 22 shells to kill rabbits all day long. Crazy. And there was a gentleman texting me on my personal phone and said that they used to eat it. They were so poor. You guys have a great day. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City, Sarah, Oklahoma.